I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20 as we continue our series on the parables of Jesus Christ. Tonight's lesson will be on the parable of the vineyard workers, a lesson I've entitled Equal Say and Equal Pay. As you turn there, let me ask you something. Is life fair? You're afraid to answer, which shows your wisdom. Never answer the first question a pastor says. Let me ask it again, though. You can feel okay. This is not a trick question. Is life fair? No, it's not. Now, don't answer this one out loud. I'll ask this one again at the end. Is God fair? Is God fair? No. Imagine you start a new job at Walmart and you make $12 an hour. 2 weeks into the job, you find out that someone else with the same skill level and experience as you was hired for the same job at $15 an hour. Now imagine that a month later you find out that a sophomore in high school with no work experience was just hired for the same job that you do at $65 an hour. Is that fair? That's not fair. That's not fair. Beloved, God is not fair. He's just. He's glorious. He's holy. But he is not fair. Dear Heavenly Father, would you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond to the message of this text. In Jesus' name, amen. Most people unwittingly confuse the meaning of the word fair with the meaning of the word just. And we're going to make a differentiation there. Now, I know that there is some semantic overlap there. Sometimes when we use the word fair, what we really mean is the word just. And so let me make a distinction here. Let me provide a definition so that we don't argue with one another. Let me suggest this. To be fair, at least the way that I am using the word, is to treat everyone the same. So if you have two children and you give one an ice cream cone with one scoop and the other an ice cream cone with two scoops, is that fair? Answer, no, and one of your kids will tell you that. Right? They'll say, that's not fair. He has two scoops. I have one scoop. Well, if fair means to treat everybody the same, then is the world fair? No. Is God fair? We'll decide as we go. Another way that I'll use the word fair here is treating people as they deserve. Is it fair to treat everybody as they deserve? Yes. Does God do that? Tell me. No. Praise God. No. Does God treat everyone the same? No. Do you? No. And let me prove it to you. Imagine this scenario. Your child comes up to you and says, Father, may I have $5? You reach into your wallet and you go, son, sure. You give him $5, and then a random kid from the neighborhood comes up and says, you're handing out $5? How about me? Some of you would say, yes, here's $5 because you're gracious. Most of you would say, get out of here. Ask your own parents. We love our kids better than other people's kids. Would you agree with that? Good. We don't treat everyone the same. We don't delight in everyone the same. So then what does it mean to be just? To be just means that you are acting in accordance with your rights. If you wanted to give the other kid $5, you could. There's no law against that. This means to be just means that you are acting in accordance with what is yours. Would it be just for you to steal $5 from somebody else and give it to this kid? No. See, God is just. He acts in accordance with his rights. He acts in accordance with what is his. But he's not fair. Some people grow up in Christian homes, taught the word every day of their life, competed Awana quiz and take first place, and that's awesome. Some kids are born in the homes where nobody knows Jesus, and it's easier probably to get access to drugs than a Bible. Life isn't fair. Neither is God. But he is just. Now, a quick word about how to interpret this parable, the parable of the vineyard workers. First of all, what this parable cannot mean. This parable cannot mean that we all get the same rewards in heaven. 1 Corinthians 3 is very clear that we are rewarded according to our works. Whatever is not burned up is a blessing for us. So what this parable must mean is that there is a sense in which heaven is the same for everybody. Even those people you think barely deserve it or don't deserve it at all. So this parable means that many who are last in our estimation will be first in being given the kingdom. So let's get to the text, and let's start with the landowner's recruitment. I love this. Here's the plan. The landowner went repeatedly to the marketplace to find or hire workers. Notice this. Jesus says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard." Now, I want you to notice this. He agreed with the first ones hired for a specific wage, one denarius for the day. That was the basic pay for a day of work in this culture. So he talked with them. He said, "I'll give you a denarius. You work all day." They said, "That's reasonable to us." And he said, "Well, get into my field then and get to work." The first hour, the pay scale was a denarius for 12 hours of work. Notice then what happens in verse 3. "And he went out again the third hour." This is just 3 hours later. "And he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.'" Notice this. He does not haggle a price with these guys. He says, "Go into the vineyard, and whatever's right, I'll give you." And he does the same thing, not only at the third hour, but the sixth hour and the ninth hour. He just says, "Just go to work. We'll settle up at the end. I'll pay you, and maybe you can feed your families." And then notice at the very 11th hour, that is the last hour of the workday, we find this in verse 6. "And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day long?' And they said to him, 'Well, because no one hired us.' And he said to them, 'You go into the vineyard also.'" Notice this. There's no promise of pay here. I mean, there's some expectation that they would get something, but he doesn't say a denarius. He doesn't say one-tenth of a denarius. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't even say what is right. He just says, "Go to work. We'll figure it out." Now, so far in this parable, everything is fine until you start doing the math. And so, I'm not very good at math, so I assumed $100 a day as a daily pay. You work about 8 hours, $12 an hour, you're looking at $96 a day, so round it up to 100, because I'm not that good at math, okay? Notice then the workers' remuneration. In verse 8, we find this. "When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first.'" We're going to elaborate on that in a second. "When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received denarius, a full day's pay." Now, so far, so good. unless you're everybody else. Because they started thinking this. Well, if this guy gives a denarius for 1 hour of work, how much am I going to get? Notice in your notes that I did a little bit of math. If you want to check the math later, go ahead, but don't tell me I'm wrong because it would crush my self-esteem. The first hour hires were hired at $8.33 an hour. Not horrible, not great. I think, is that under minimum wage now? I don't even know. It's pretty, you know, get the job done. And they worked 12 hours. The third hour hires made $11.11 an hour. That's a pretty big jump in 3 hours. Wouldn't you agree? The sixth hour hires made $16.66 an hour. That's a pretty good amount of money, pretty good chunk of change. The ninth hour hires made $33.33 an hour. 3 hours work. You're starting to feel it. This doesn't seem quite fair, does it? And of course, the 11th hour workers, they made $100 an hour, which is nice. Now, imagine you're the one hired first. Notice what we find here, beloved, in the text. In verse 11, when they received it, they grumbled again. Okay, sorry, verse 10. When those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. And you get it, right? You get it? It's reasonable to expect that, right? I mean, if this guy's going to pay a whole day's work for 1 hour, what is the 12-hour worker going to get? You would think 12 times as much. But each of them, verse 10, also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner. Wouldn't you? Honestly? Now see, you have to understand. The ones hired first did not begrudge the other ones their food. They weren't crying out, don't pay them as much. They weren't crying out saying they don't deserve to eat. Something else was bothering them. It's the workers' resentment. Notice this in verse 11. They grumbled. What did they say? Verse 12. These last men have worked only 1 hour. Now notice this, beloved. And you've made them equal to us. That's the problem. Why are they equal with me? I worked all day. They said, we've even borne the heat of the sun. We were out there breaking our backs, working with the sun beating down on us. And you treat us, the worker bees, like these Johnny-come-lately grace cases. Notice what they said. Verse 12, you've made them equal to us. You have borne the burden, who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. Beloved, there are some people who will be in heaven that will scandalize you. Especially those of you who grew up serving Christ. I praise the Lord that you did. But if you had to wait to see that there are some people who will on their deathbed cry out to Jesus after living a life that was disgusting, and they will be just as much in heaven as you. Why? Because God's not fair. He's just, but he's not fair. Notice in verse 13 how the landowner then replies. I love this. But he answered and said to one of them, friend. He calls him his friend. He says, I'm not doing you any wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Basically what he's saying is this. If I did not bring these guys in, you would be as happy as can be right now. you would be as happy as a little kid with candy in their hands. Have you ever seen this? They're eating candy, their whole face lights up. And you're like, I want to be that happy. I want to be like that. And I am when I grab candy with my hands. It's the way I do it. Kidding. All this to say is the landowner said, there wasn't a problem until you saw other people being treated well, too. He says, I have a right to do what I want with what is mine. Notice this, beloved. Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Verse 14, take what is yours and go, but I wish to give the last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Let me ask you a question. What does God own? Answer, everything. Everything. And then he asked this other question. I love it. He says, is your nose bent out of shape because I'm generous? That's a loose translation. The literal translation is this. Is your eye bad because I'm good? That's what it says in Greek. Is your eye bad because I'm good? What is he saying? Are you giving me the stink eye because I'm nice? That's what he's saying. They resented the landowner not because they were cheated, not because their pay was short or cut. They resented him because God, or here the landowner, was just as gracious, more so, to the desperate 11th hour grace cases as he was to them. And God had every right to do it. He was just to do it. This leads us then to the mysterious reality. Verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Friends, the last should be last. Not only did the first hour hires work for 12 hours, they had to stand there and wait while the other people got paid first. It's not fair. The last should be last, and the first should be first. Right? And yet this parable tells us that the last should be last, but God will make them first. God, the gracious, generous landowner, will pour out his grace on the vilest offender who truly believes. That moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. God will often scandalize us with his grace. How about a serial killer who lives his life taking life, taking innocence, thumbing his nose at the law, at the world, and at the Lord? And 30 seconds before his heart stops, he cries out to Jesus. And when he opens his eyes, 31 seconds later, he is in the presence of Christ. Is that fair? No. It's just. It's not fair. How about dramatic conversions? Like murderers and stuff. And stuff is a theological term in your notes. Matthew 21:31. Jesus said to the Pharisees, truly I say to you that tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God. before you. Is God fair? Does he treat all people the same? No. Let me ask you this, and answer me, please. Is God fair? Does he treat everyone the way they deserve to be treated? Answer. No. Because if God treated us the way we deserve to be treated, we'd be in hell. Even the good ones, the ones who give our lives to gospel service, if he were to open his hand and grant to us what our lives have begged him for, we'd be in hell. God is not fair. Praise the Lord. Amen. But he's just. As Romans 5 says, he sent his Son while we were yet sinners to die for us. We might resent God for this grace. I'll never forget February 1994. After evening service, I went up to the pastor of the church and I said, his name is Jerry. I said, Jerry, I got saved this week. At the time, my hair was about down to my waist, black leather jacket, heavy metal t-shirt on. And after church, they all went out to dinner. It was a small church in Montana. They could do that. So we're at a pizza place. And he goes, what are you telling me for? Tell everybody. So I stood up. I said, everybody, I have an announcement to make. I'm sure some of them thought, this dude's packing heat, you know. I told everybody, I got saved this week. And I looked at some of the people from our church, and they put their heads down. They were embarrassed. Almost 30 years later, I remember that. Because they were good people. Clean people. Church-going people. But I was just as saved as they were. Amen. Amen. We can resent God's grace sometimes. We might think some people just flat out deserve to go to hell. And we're right. We just don't apply it to ourselves. So do you secretly think that you are better than others? Imagine you die at the same time as anybody else in this room. Would you be shocked if Jesus walked right past you to hug the person next to you? In his book, Gentle and Lowly, Dane Ortlund said this, "It is the most counterintuitive aspect of Christianity that we are declared right with God, not once we begin to get our act together, but once we collapse into honest acknowledgement that we never will. He's a good, good Father, isn't he?" Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for all of us that you would protect us from the sneaky sin of pride. It's so sinister. It is so easily ours. We are so quick and prone to forget that not everybody has the same experiences, spiritual advantages. And let's be honest, not even everybody hears the gospel. And we may forget just how fortunate we are to live in a culture that even now, as sin-soaked and sick as it is, we have such access to the gospel. Lord, we're not better than the people in Papua New Guinea that by your grace, Jezekiel Vanderdecker has not yet reached. Lord, we are not better than the ones, the missionaries this church supports are about to be used for you to save. Many of them, if they were sitting with us today, would feel out of place. We would feel out of place for them. Lord, would you fan the flames of global evangelization? Would you please refuse to numb us by some blasphemous, heretical teaching that everybody gets a second chance when they die? It's not in your word. Lord, we pray for our missionaries tonight. We also pray for the elders, pastors, teachers, who you will use to bring people to know you. Most of all, false modesty aside, we pray for ourselves that you would tune our hearts to sing your praise, that you would help us to react in excitement when people, rough people, come to know you. Lord, would you help us not to think less of you because you're generous, gracious. To the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.